Coming up on the show today, we finish our review of the book, The Church of Facebook, Chapter 6, Regeneration. We talk about how to be authentic, humble, and intentional on Facebook. And you'll also find out why Sally is all warm inside, a new release of one of her favorite apps. All that and more coming up next. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. This is for March 14th, 2012, episode 227. I'm Martin Spriggs, and joining me, as usual, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. I'm joining you in springtime and sleepy
springtime.
Eye. Springtime means I have a scratchy voice, unfortunately. So my apologies up front to the listeners for having to endure that.
There's only so much audio magic I can do, Sally. I'm sorry.
I'll be expecting great things.
Yeah, right. They will. You've got to expect after 227 episodes, there's going to be a few of those kinds in there. You know, we can't be healthy for every Tuesday when we record. So
yeah,
but I appreciate you soldiering on here.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be healthy for next week because I'm heading south to Mississippi. I'm going to be podcasting from Mississippi next week.
So. Yeah, through the wonders of technology, sleepy eye, Mississippi. What does it matter?
Global traveler.
That's
yes.
Right. This is an international podcast after all, anyway.
That's right.
We are talking about the Church of Facebook. This is actually the final chapter and our final episode on the book. And this was an interesting one, Sally. Those of you reading at home, this is chapter 6 called Regeneration. And he kind of brings it all together in this chapter.
He does. I was actually kind of taken off guard, Martin, when I read it. I decided these words were kind of written for me. It was good timing for me to read these things about how to have intentional relationships and really put a little bit more of your heart into those massively long friend lists you have on Facebook.
Yep. So far throughout the book, he's really focused on this, kind of the why of Facebook. Why is it useful? Why is it worth considering? Why is it so popular? Kind of the social nature of it, the psychological maybe reasons behind its success. But here he kind of brings it really home for the Christian, where he uses the parable of Jesus and the woman at the well. And basically preaches a little sermon, I think, on how to relate to one another, and especially how to minister to one another. And he kind of carved it up into three different sections, and he describes it as really just ways we should be thinking about our Facebook relationships. And the three buckets that he spends a lot of time talking about are what he calls intentionality, humility, and authenticity.
Right. I think Jesse has proven himself over and over again, as we've read the book, as being a master storyteller. Mm-hmm. And to turn to God's Word and use this story from the Bible to kind of tie things together, to turn to our perfect example of someone who met us where we are, Jesus, and, set aside his glory to be with us sinners here on earth is just a really great way to cap off this look at our Facebook relationships. In this story, Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus sets the stage. He is intentional with his approach of the woman and discussion with the woman, something that really wasn't done at that day and age. And he also met her where she was. He wasn't prideful or anything in his relationship, even though she had a storied past and He didn't bring that into it. You know, he was just talking to her at her level. And then the authentic side of it, establishing that genuine relationship, he wasn't acting or anything. You know, he was just very genuine in his encounter with the woman. So I think a great, perfect example for us to look at.
Right. So on, let's maybe step through each one of those in a little bit more detail on the intentionality side, or the intentional living. He calls it on-purpose living. And a big point there was that in this always-on world that we live in, so you're always connected. You're always hearing what your friends are doing. You're always posting your own status updates, looking at pictures. You have text messaging, email, voicemail. We're in a hyper-connected society, as he calls it, where you are probably finding yourself in a lot of different scenarios where you're just responding to the urgent things. It's kind of a real time, what's the latest, greatest, what do I need to pay attention to now? And now I'm done with that. What's the next thing? And what's the next thing? And what's the next thing? That makes it hard to live intentionally, to measure why you're living. Why God has placed you here was really the point. And so very true on Facebook, too. If you're just living from post to post to post to post, it's hard to take a step back and say, you know, what should I be doing? What do I need to be intentional about? Why am I on Facebook in the first place? Why am I friends with this person? What does God have in store? What's the purpose of all of this?
So this was probably the section of the chapter that spoke to me the most, that whole busyness factor. He calls it the number one enemy of mindfulness. Mm-hmm. If we're going to be intentional, we got to be focusing on what's important. And instead we get bogged down in all these things that are bombarding us. And, you know, he kind of concludes with, we do have a choice here. We don't have to stuff ourselves till we throw up at this all-you-can-eat digital buffet.
Right.
So
yep.
I think this is an important lesson to learn here.
Yep. Humility was the next one. What do you think about that section?
Yeah, humility is transformative, Jesse says. It opens us up to see beyond our own experience. And so not just that we need to put others first, but we need to just get over the fear of doing that. Mm-hmm. We need to, you know, not make judgments, but actually just hear people at where they're at.
Right. And that's a difficult thing on Facebook, because Facebook is really engineered to be narcissistic to a certain degree. You know, tell everybody about yourself, how clever you can be, for instance, and how smart you can look, and how many followers you can have. But true humility, as Jesus portrayed, obviously is not about that. It's really about the other person.
Third bucket, authenticity, establishing a genuine relationship free from pretense or play acting, being true to that word that we hold so dear, and doing that across all aspects of our life, not being someone different online than what we hold true and important.
That duplicitousness. A phrase I liked, he said, clever versus character. Really, it's being who you are, whether you're living in a digital world or in an analog world, and your online identity shouldn't be any different than your own. So,
yeah. So then, we're rapidly approaching the end of the book here, and I think Jesse wraps it up very well by giving us
some
step-by-step guidelines, right? Some ideas of how to implement this intentionality, humility, and authenticity in this crazy context of Facebook, of social media, of our hyper-connected world. Mm-hmm. And first up, he talks about practicing regular check-ins.
Yep.
And what he means is don't be without mental connection to what you're doing and what you're experiencing online. Think about how it's making you feel. Think about whether it's appropriate to be doing or saying the things that are being shared online. Mm-hmm. He likens it to driving somewhere and not remembering the whole trip because right. you just kind of check out mentally when you're on these social networks. Maybe you look at the clock and an hour and a half has passed while you've mm-hmm. Been mindlessly reading everyone's daily check-ins and things. Yep, and he's just kind of encouraging you to check in mentally.
Yep, that goes back to that intentional living, that on purpose living, the ability to step back and say, hey, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. Second one was give space to yourself. He was really talking about kind of at the beginning and the end of the day, don't start your day in Facebook, don't end it there. Kind of, again, following kind of closely on the heels of that first tip, take a step back, give yourself some time to think, meditate, pray, of course, maybe even memorize, you know, commit some time to memorizing scripture, sing a hymn, those kinds of things where it kind of puts you in the right frame of mind to begin the day and the end the day versus kind of the hyper connectivity that is Facebook. So, you know, step back and connect with God.
Then he encouraged us to practice mindful Facebooking, again, tying into all of the things we've said already. Be aware of how much time you spend there and the thoughts and feelings that you experience there. So just be more checked into the experience and not letting it just guide you mm-hmm. Mindlessly.
Yep, kind of do an inventory, Facebook inventory. What am I doing here? How much time am I spending? What have I spent my time on? Has it been productive? Has it been God pleasing? Mm-hmm. Next one is what's called practicing authentic Facebooking, and that goes back to again what we just talked about with authenticity. You know, are you just being clever? Are you being genuine? Are you being clever? Sharing a Christ-like character? Facebook prefers, I think, the cleverness, but really the Christian has a different purpose there, and the ability to kind of be who God has made you on Facebook and off of Facebook is really important.
And then finally, he concludes by encouraging you to adopt mm-hmm. one or two Facebook friends for a month and just be really intentional in your relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Pray for them, send them messages, encourage them, engage them in really authentic ways mm-hmm. instead of just the superficial check-ins that you normally would do with your list of 400 plus friends or yep. whatever it is.
That's a
and
great idea.
I remember when we interviewed Jesse, he talked about this and the effects that that kind of relationship, that very purposeful relationship with friends has had in his Facebooking career and mm-hmm. things. And I think this is a great idea.
Yep. And that can extend beyond Facebook even to, you know, relationship, you know, in-person relationships mm-hmm. or through email or Twitter or texting or whatever. You know, this all goes back to that intentionality, that humility, that authenticity, back to the parable, the time that Jesus spent one-on-one with somebody who thought maybe he shouldn't be spending one-on-one time with. Great advice and a good book. Good read. Do you think, Sally?
Definitely. Yeah, it just wrapped up a little bit too soon for us, Martin. You got to pick books with more chapters in them next time.
Oh, yeah. Well, what is, in speaking of the next book, do we have one planned?
Well, I think what we're going to do is take a look at an e-book for the next couple of months about transforming your small business with social media. Mm-hmm. Just to keep on the social media track and finish up this season of podcasting through the end of the school year. We'll look at that, and
so
we'll
really
be providing links as well.
Focus on the organizational side of social networking versus the, you know, just the one-on-one like we've been talking about here. So good. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. Shall we move on to ministry resources?
Sure. I have a new iPad app to share. It is from the Bible Gateway folks. Mm-hmm. They have finally jumped into the mobile app arena, and they did it by launching an iPad app this week. It's available if you search in the App Store for Bible Gateway. And I downloaded it, and it's a really nice interface, and you can bring up whatever Bible translation you're interested in. Obviously, you have to be connected to the internet in in order to make use of it. But they have a view where you can see three different translations side by side. They have different reading plans and note-taking abilities, as well as audio plans available there, and some social sharing as well. So, you know, I think they've got all the components. The interface is quite lovely. It's good to look at, and you can control font size and things like that. So a great launch for them for the iPad. Maybe a little late to be joining the mobile app arena, and they don't have an Android or iPhone app yet. So promising those in the near future.
Yeah. Well, they are a poor nonprofit, and we know how that works.
Yeah. We have our app out there as well, and we do our best to support it. But
plug
I
along.
Just got a question the other day about BlackBerry app, and at this point we don't have one of those.
Yikes.
So it's just part of it to try and be all things to all people. It's not an easy challenge.
Yep. So. Mobile's a place you need to be. So, and the iPad, that's kind of segues nicely into our news and tech section. There was a big announcement last week that there'll be a new iPad. Not called the iPad 3, as one might suspect, after the iPad 2, but just called the iPad. And a couple of the upgrades to it is a what they call a Retina display. The iPhone series launched that with the iPhone 4, now the 4S. They have what's called a Retina display, which is a high-resolution display. So really the way they describe it is if you hold it at normal distance, you can't see any pixels. And that's truly the case. So now the iPad's going to get that same kind of display. So from all accounts, it sounds like a stunning display. In fact, a higher resolution than your TV, essentially. So it should be interesting to see how that looks. Faster processor, better camera. Voice dictation is now included, so they're kind of following suit with Android at this point. Not Siri; it's a little bit different, so it's not a smart, a digital assistant that's listening to you and then responding, but basically the ability to talk to your iPad and then have it basically translate what you're saying into written text. So it saves a little bit of typing, perhaps. So those are the big changes. All the pricing is the same. It's a little bit thicker because another thing was if you get a Verizon or AT&T-enabled one, it can connect via 4G. So the experience is going to be faster where 4G is available. So all the prices are the same. All the models are the same. They have the 16, 32, and 64 models starting from $499 on up.
And there is a price discount for the iPad 2 now, so you can get into the iPad market at $399.
Yep, so maybe that's worthwhile too. Yep, they've already sold out. I guess it's going on sale on the 16th. Or shipping on the 16th, and I think they've already sold a million of them. So what a revolution. Yeah. So,
are you going to get in line for one?
No, I don't know. We've talked about it, but see, I'm using the iPad 1 at this point. It seems like such a dinosaur now, but I think it's meeting needs as well. So.
Very good.
We'll see.
I did the whole operating system update because they announced a new operating system. 5.1 took me over an hour just to download that puppy. So
right.
It was a big upgrade apparently. And some of the apps were demanding it that have the Keynote and
you can get iPhoto now. Yeah, iPhoto on the iPad.
I grabbed a copy of iPhoto, cost $5, but thought it was worth giving that a try as well. Although I have some really good photo editing software, so I'm not sure if it's going to add a whole lot. We'll have to play some with that.
But. Okay.
Interesting news, and always fun to follow what's going on with Apple.
Other news in tech is more Wells Tech related. And speaking of Facebook.
Wells Tech has a new look on Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, we have the timeline look applied to our Wells Tech page. And just simply because they sent us a message as we went to the page as administrators that said this is coming, I think on March 30th, they're going to roll it out on all pages across Facebook. So we went ahead and took the plunge and applied the timeline look. And you just love it, right, Mark?
Well, I haven't, like a lot of other things with Facebook, I haven't quite figured out why it does what it does. So let's just leave it at that.
Okay. But worth a mention, at least for all of those who are listening who have church pages built on Facebook, because I did get the same message on our St. John's church page.
Right.
And I guess the biggest challenge that you have to deal with is that there's that big header image now.
Right.
And so you need a nice image to put up there at the top. So
yeah, because it can look really bad if you don't pay attention to that.
Yeah.
It's just going to pick whatever. So.
Time All right.
I believe we could go on to picks of the week.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. My pick
of the week gave me quite a stern warning for this one.
Yes, I did. Don't you dare consider using this one. This one's mine. I've been waiting for this for a long time. And this weekend, I woke up to the announcement of PicMonkey.com. It's from the engineers from Picnic, my favorite online image editing site, which was recently shuttered and is going out of business as of April 19th. Picnic was bought by the Google team, and they decided to shut it down, unfortunately. And so,
well, that's not totally true. They incorporated
it
into Google Photos, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it still lives over on Google's side of things.
It's not the same.
Yeah, we wanted this easily accessible image editor that Picnic was, and PicMonkey is stepping up to the plate to replace it. And so far, so good. I'm thrilled. I love it. It's got all the basic editing features, things like crop and resize and rotate. It has effects. I found frost and yester color and fancy focus and a whole list of other effects that you can apply to your images. It has touch-up. Not just the plain old red eye, but things like teeth whitening and mascara, even a weight loss touch-up, Martin. So I'm going to have to check that one out.
Me too.
And you can add text, you can add overlays and borders as well. They're promising that collages will be added soon. That's one of my favorite things that Picnic did so well. So hopefully that will be the case over at PicMonkey as well. Right now you can only save in JPEG format, but you can control the compression of your JPEGs when you go to save your images. And I did notice that some of the things have little crowns on them, some of the different features. Let's say maybe teeth whitening or whatever it is has a crown on it, and that indicates that they're going to have royal treatment coming in the future. And what they're saying is basically there'll be a fee-based option with more more of these.
Yes, you can be royalty too as long as you're willing to pay for
if
it.
If you're willing to pay. Now, Picnic costs like $25 a year for their upgraded options, so I'm assuming PicMonkey will probably be in line with that pricing. Right now, everything is free. You can get the royal treatment for free right now, but they do have a little pop-up that comes up that says, we'll notify you when this is coming. You can put in your email address, and we'll send you a coupon code to get a discount on royal treatment. So, of course, I wasted no time plugging in my email address. So, here's the neatest thing. They're very social over at PicMonkey. They're out on Twitter at PicMonkey app. And I did a little tweet when I discovered PicMonkey on Saturday morning. I said, I woke up to the best news. The new Picnic online image editor, PicMonkey is online. And they responded right away and said, the monkey loves being an alarm clock. Glad to be of service. So I got some one-on-one interaction with my friends at PicMonkey.
The love affair continues.
Yeah.
Okay.
So happy girl.
Good for you. I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Okay. My pick is a product that I'm sure many of us use, Pandora. But it's a specific feature of Pandora that is really my pick of the week, and that's what they call Pandora One. That's their premium service. A lot of people don't realize that Pandora has a premium service, but for $36 a year, very cheap, that's $2 a month. No, that's $3 a month. I'll do my math. You're the math person. $3 a month. You can sign up for Pandora One, but that gives you a bunch of stuff. Now, I listen to Pandora in the car, when I'm here in the office, whatever. That gets rid of all the ads. either the pop-up ads that you get on the mobile experience, or the audio ads that'll pop up, you know, about every five or six songs. You have no limits on skips, so at some point you could not skip anymore in a given day. It gives you higher quality, 256K, I believe, kilobits that you could listen to. It comes with a desktop player, both for Mac and Windows. You can listen for up to five consecutive hours without having to interact with the system. You know, before, if you left it on, it would say, "Are you still listening?" And then it would stop if you don't respond. So you can go up to 5 hours. Really, Pandora is my preference at this point over, you know, the other big ones out there that are more kind of radio specific or song specific, like Spotify, Moog, RDO, Rhapsody, you know, those kind. Where Pandora just kind of creates stations and it kind of plays a mix for you. But for $36 a year, I think it's worth it to kind of have that ad-free, more pleasant experience in music listening. So I've got, you know, Christian radio stations set up and kind of the oldies for me, the 60s and 70s set up. I just enjoy Pandora, and I think they do a nice job. So it's worth it for me, this Pandora one. So,
you know, I still have a geeked out kitchen, Martin. I don't know if you remember that project from several years ago, but we have a laptop mounted upside down, actually, in our kitchen under counter computer. And Pandora is one of my go-to websites on that. And I especially love to turn it on when we're having a party for background music. It's just perfect. So. Lots of uses for options.
Yeah, ministry and otherwise. So, we should remind everybody that we are continuing our 7 Best series. That's going to be coming up in the first week of April, show 230. 7 Best Email Productivity Tools and Tips. So if there is something that makes your email life a little bit easier, we'd love to hear about it. Put it on the list, or at least consider it on the list. Lots of ways to connect with us and share those email productivity tools and tips. Go to the website, wellstech.wells.net. Just email us, wellstech@wells.net. We just mentioned our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/wellstech, and interact with us there all kinds of ways. So no excuses for getting not being able to get in touch with us. We would love to hear your feedback on that.
And email has got to be the number one thing that we all have in common, that we all have to deal with, and that, you know, we want to be mindful of, but not be bogged down by.
Yep, want to be good stewards there. So
definitely.
Let's move on to community feedback.
And we had a ton of links shared in our Digo group.
Yeah, we
Digo
did.
Is the perfect place to communicate a cool article or our website that you found that you think would be a benefit to all our Wells Tech listeners. And we had a variety. YouVersion has a new website, same Bible, but an updated look
new
on
design.
Their website.
Yep, it looks nice. I like it.
There was a link to a follow-up article from David Pogue. We had talked about OnLive Desktop as being an iPad app that allowed you to basically to go to a virtual computer and run Microsoft Office and Windows Explorer and that kind of thing. So Pogue answered a few questions that were generated from the article that he did, and it's good just to learn more about the application and its uses.
That was in the news this past week as well. Microsoft is not real happy with OnLive about their – they believe that they're not being faithful to licensing agreements. So there may be something coming down the pike with them. It may not be free anymore, is my suspicion. So
interesting.
So we'll see how that turns out.
Someone gave us a link to an article about Apple releasing a configurator app. And this is a Mac app that allows you to easily configure up to 30 devices such as iPads or iPod touches or whatever.
Good for classroom management. Mm-hmm. So if you manage a number of iPads that you're using in the educational setting or in the classroom, this makes it easy to keep them up to date, upgrade, wipe them, you know, those kinds of things. So this was missing, and this was one of the advantages that Chromebooks had over iPads in the classroom. So I think Apple's trying to narrow that gap a little bit with this configurator tool.
Very good. Next up, we have a link to share to freeoffice.com 15-minute webinars. Mm-hmm. And it looks like really easy to jump into a training session. And they've got everything from PowerPoint, Word, Outlook, Excel, OneNote, Office Web Apps, and Office 2010 scheduled within the next month. So
little bite-sized webinars that only take you 15 minutes of time but give you good tips probably.
Sure.
Free, too.
Love the price tag.
Yep.
I believe Jason Schmidt shared the link to Bootstrap at bootstrapworld.org. And this looks like an interesting way to teach computer programming and math skills. So geared toward probably junior high to high school age, algebraic and geometric concepts, and programming combined. They have a ton of teaching resources available and looks like worthy of some attention if you're doing that kind of technology / math instruction
cool.
in your classroom.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. There's a link to free English games for kids. And Martin, I think you shared a link to the top 10 technology blogs for education.
Yeah, that's a cool list. Some of these we have already talked about. In fact, the last 7 best show we had, educational websites or teacher resource websites. Free Technology for Teachers is on this list, but I found that there were others there that I had never heard of. So just a great listing of blogs that educators may want to bookmark or put in their RSS reader and keep track of.
Very good.
Very well done.
And then finally, Randy Nepson shared a link to 101+1 Social Media Tactics for Nonprofits. He was really excited to find this book. It's available from Amazon in Kindle or hardcover format. And just the fact that it's focusing on nonprofits specifically and how they can use social media seems like a good read. Mm-hmm. So check it out if you're interested.
Very good.
And then finally, over on the Twitterscape, I picked up a tweet from Jason Schmidt that he's going to be teaching Google Apps classes for MLC this summer.
Right.
So they're working on their summer schedule. If it hasn't been announced yet, it will be soon. Martin, you and I are both on the summer schedule for MLC as well.
Mm-hmm. I am teaching how to create effective presentations using presentation technologies like PowerPoint, Keynote, Prezi, those kinds of things. How to think about presentations and how to craft them, and then ultimately how to deliver them. What are you doing, Sally?
I'm doing digital image editing, and you can be looking at PicMonkey.
Wonders, yes.
Yeah, excited about that.
We should also probably share that we're planning to do some other teaching this summer on Final Web, so stay tuned for that. But I think we said in, was it July? Where were we? Where did we plunk those?
Yeah, somewhere mid-July-ish.
Yep.
We'll be announcing that soon.
Yep, so stay tuned if you are a Final Web. If you're responsible for your Final Web, you won't want to miss these training opportunities. Is that it for community feedback, Sally?
That will do it for this week, yes,
and
sir.
You came through like a star.
I'm about at my limit, so it's good we're winding things down.
All right. Next week, speaking of presentations, we will be doing an entire show on presentation technology, both, I think, in a church setting, but also in a school setting, just the different options that are available, things to look out for. And we'll also be having Brian Davison of Koine on. They have an exciting conference coming up called the Hearts and Hands of David Workshop at WLC, April 19th to 21st. So we'll be talking to him about that and what that is all about. And there is a section in that workshop on presentation technology. So ties in nicely with our topic of the day. let us close the show with the music of Stephen Bautista from his album Abandon, the song The Man Who Drove the Nail. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Standing by Jesus' side, would I be bold enough to go against the bitter tide? Would I speak out, willingly plead his case, and defend him to the end from the angry crowds he faced? And would I run to his rescue? Would I come to save? Will